Hour number two here on Four's Company. We are brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Wealth management advice for you no matter your current situation or stage in life. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Coming up, lots of SEC baseball talk in hour number two. Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt baseball, going to join us in just about 10 minutes on the show as Vandy gets set for game two against Alabama this afternoon. Won game one yesterday in eight innings. Second mercy rule SEC win in a row for Vanderbilt. And we'll also check in on the Vols later on in the hour and see where both in-state schools are sitting with just a couple weeks left to go in the regular season. But first, let's answer our question of the day. What is a sporting event that you have to get to at some point in your life? Plenty of good options out there. I've said that you can go basic. You can go with some of the typical ones, but I want some off-the-beaten-path answers. We've gotten some good ones on our text line, but let's start with our answers. Nick Frazier, what's a sporting event that you got to get to?
I don't know. There's a lot of them. There are a lot of sporting events I'd like to get to. One would be a World Cup match. I would like to see a nice soccer match for the international spectrum overall. Would love to see a Serie A match in Milan because that's my favorite team. Want to go to the San Siro because it's a very beautiful spectacle. Obviously, a nice PDC darts championship to go to. That'd be pretty cool.
I knew he was going there.
I just
knew it.
The crowd makes that environment. They dress up like it's Halloween every single tournament.
It does look electric when you see the clips of the darts on Twitter.
If you hear a 180, they go 180. I'm like, oh yes, give it to me, inject it in my veins. And you hear the crowd erupt. That's awesome.
What does that mean?
It's 180 points on the board.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
the max. Three triple 20s.
Yep, and it's the maximum. Just remember that, the maximum.
I missed the transition from darts or from soccer to darts.
That's okay.
That's my bad.
I've already checked off the rugby league thing.
Yeah.
What else is out there that I'd like to get?
Would you like to get to a rugby game in Australia?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all.
You just said you didn't want to go to Australia.
Well,
I asked you that yesterday.
If I could time travel or if I could, teleport, I'd be okay with that. I don't know if I can do
the long flight.
That's 23 hours above water too. I don't know if I could.
What if we fly you first class? Would you do it?
I mean,
what if we gave you a lot of sleeping pills?
Get you a nice bed.
Oh, my word.
What if we took a metal pipe to your head?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. It depends. One other spectacle I'd like to see in sports would be something involving golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, something out there.
I feel like golf's going to be a popular answer.
Yeah.
That was two of the ones I was thinking of were golf. Obviously, the Masters. I think that's I think that's a big answer. Connor.
Someone's
such
snoring?
A hater, Connor.
I'm playing golf on the 17th. I've never played before. Maybe this will be the start of the addiction.
I want to go to the Waste Management, too. I think that would be, obviously, U.S. Open would be a big one. And actually, Matt from Camden on our text line says U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. And I think that would be really cool. But the Waste Management, in terms of just a party around a golf tournament, I think that would be fun. And then, God, what was the other one? Oh, Omaha. For a College World Series.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that would be really fun to go to.
Oh, yeah.
And, maybe we see Vanderbilt, Tennessee there again this upcoming year. Who knows? But I feel like the atmosphere around Omaha for the College World Series is a really cool one.
Yeah.
Connor, you got one in mind?
I'm going to go WrestleMania. That's the dream right there. Ringside at WrestleMania is the dream. Omaha definitely comes to mind. If we want to go specific games, Penn State whiteout for me.
That would be cool.
Would be awesome. Virginia Tech would be awesome.
Enter Sandman.
Just to experience that. I would not care about the game. I just want to be there for the
You'd be like the sorority girls going in for Enter Sandman and then leaving.
Yeah. Well, I may follow the sorority girls. Field of Dreams game. I guess they don't really do that anymore.
I think it was a one-time thing, but I agree.
But that would be awesome.
The one at Bristol coming up this year I feel like would be cool.
That'd be really cool.
Being at the battle at Bristol, were you there too, Jake Wallman?
I was.
Yeah, that was a really cool experience. I feel like a baseball game there would be cool too.
Getting in, I hope that security this year is much better because getting into the battle at Bristol
was
a nightmare.
Yeah, no, it was.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other ones. I mean, I've never been to a Kentucky football game. That'll change this year.
Yeah, this year you're making your debut out there.
When I watch the under 500 Kentucky Wildcats take on the under 500 Tennessee Vols. It's going to be cinema. I mean, Final Four, of course.
Yeah.
But we're staying away from the basic ones.
We've got some great answers on our text line. We'll get to those in a second.
Oh, the hot dog eating contest.
Somebody on here said that too. Michael and Madison said the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship. Yeah. That is a great one.
Yeah.
On 4th of July, that'd be awesome.
Cinema. Heartburn City, baby.
I mean, just watching them inhale.
He's suspended now, but
Joey Chestnut.
In his prime, Joey Chestnut.
Elite. One of the greatest athletes of all
American
time.
American hero.
Yes.
I mean, he's the most dominant athlete there's ever been.
Jake Wallman, you got any in mind?
Yes. So you mentioned the Masters. I would like to go to the Masters. I've never really brought myself to do the to apply.
Yeah.
I've thought about it.
I've got to make sure I apply again this year.
But I'd like to go to St. Andrews.
Yep,
for the British
Open. The
old
course, that would be cool. I feel like there's a lot of golf ones that are just there's so many amazing with a lot of history around these tournaments. So I'd like to do that.
St. Andrews is one. I've been to Talladega a couple times, and those two trips bring this in mind. The Nashville Grand Prix sounds kind of fun, where you can just kind of post up on a rooftop bar for the day.
See them roll around the streets.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd rather go watch the Memphis Showboats and the Houston Roughnecks, but
that's a big one.
Hey, yeah. Where do they do the Snake Cup in the UFL?
DC?
Yeah.
Or
okay.
DC Defenders.
Oh, yeah. The DC Defenders. Yeah. That is the
That'd be
the
pretty fun
snake.
To be a part of.
That.
Some of my friends have done that before.
ESPN.
Yeah,
they also do that in at Cubs games in Chicago.
Yeah,
which Wrigley Field I'd
Wrigley
like to go
Field
to.
Would
we
be
don't
up
talk
there
about
too.
That place on this show.
And then I'd love to go to South Bend for a Notre Dame game.
Right.
If we get to a little bit more mainstream stuff.
Yes. Mm. My dad did that when one of the times Tech played Notre Dame, and he said, despite how freezing it was, he said it was really cool. Couple of quick answers on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Devin and Dixon, he went motorsports as well. He wants to go to a major sprint car race at Eldora Speedway or Knoxville Speedway, the two most well-known dirt tracks in the country. Thought we might get more NASCAR answers on the text line, but that was really the only motorsports answer we got. One texter says the NCAA Equestrian Championship would be cool to be at for him.
Is that horse racing?
Yeah, he said it's more like rodeo. He said growing up around people investing in rodeos made him appreciate horses more. Ben said he'd like to play polo on a thoroughbred horse, 70 acres of grassland in Ireland.
Do you dabble in polo?
The shirts? Sure.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I asked for off-the-beaten-path answers, and we have gotten them.
I just thought of another one. The cornhole championships.
Cornhole would
come
be cool.
on after I mean, hot dog eating.
I've got a big
July.
One that all of you will want.
What is that? What is that?
Olympic basketball.
Yeah, the Olympics. Anything Olympics.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd say like Winter Olympic hockey would be awesome.
Especially
to be
this year,
right?
This next Olympics, they're letting actual NHL players
play
in the Olympics.
Like a U.S. Canada Olympic game, the Four Nations face-off. You saw how intense that was.
It's going to be
there
better.
Were no gold medals on the line in that one. I'm excited for next year's Winter Olympics.
Matthew Tkachuk basically was recovering the second half of the season after that, essentially.
He's still recovering.
Yeah.
He's off and on now.
I will say, let me add on to whoever mentioned the horses. And
Ben and an unnamed texter both were talking horses.
So rodeos, the PBR, professional bull riding.
Yeah.
I got to experience that
last year.
Yeah, that's
true. You got to see that.
Talk about appreciation. That is awesome.
Yeah.
That right there to sit.
Is it as cool as the Nashville Cats?
Honestly, to be 100% honest, it's cooler than regular football.
Okay.
I think so.
I'd like to see that. Adam in Portland says Wimbledon. He said it's not really his material, but he wants to sit courtside, sip something fancy, and pretend he understands that lifestyle. I get that. And James says the beach volleyball NCAA championships.
Oh, wonder why.
Lots of great answers on our text line. You can continue to text
that?
Them in 615-737-1025. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take a break. When we come back, Andrew Allegretta, the voice of Vanderbilt baseball, is going to join us and talk some Vandy boys ahead of game two against Alabama today. That's up next. Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, with you on your Saturday morning. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. And we are now thrilled to be joined on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by the voice of Vanderbilt Baseball, Andrew Allegretta. Andrew, thanks for taking some time. Congrats on the win last night. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys? Jake, how are you? It's been too long.
I know it has. I'm thinking of stopping by later today, so maybe I will see you this afternoon.
Yeah. You specifically.
You picked the one day that's likely to be a washout.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't make it. There's no game.
I promise I will make it over there at some point. Okay. We will.
Shots fired by Andrew.
I will be at Hawkins Field at some point before the end of the season. Big win last night, Andrew. And, you know, a week ago, this team was coming off three straight losses and now has reeled off three straight wins, including two mercy rules in the SEC. How have you seen this team respond from that three-game skid and get back on track over the last week?
You know, man, like I had this conversation with Coach Corp, and I asked him in one of the pregame conversations a couple of days ago. It's like, it's baseball, and I'm not shrugging off the fact that they lost three consecutive games. They didn't play all that great versus MTSU, the first two versus Ole Miss. I get that. But in the context of baseball, if you lose three consecutive games out of 162, which is kind of the typical design of baseball, like nobody notices that. But because the schedule is so condensed and it's a difficult weekend versus Ole Miss and it feels like the world every time you throw a pitch, it felt huge. But I think in the context of college baseball, if you can breathe through some of the struggles and not get too caught up in a couple of games, not to say that you want to lose a couple of games, not at all, but there's a randomness to baseball and there's an ebb and a flow to baseball. It's going to take you high. It's going to take you low. And I think one of the things that this team has done fairly well throughout the course of the season is not been overwhelmed too much by the times that they hit a couple of lulls. Like we got swept at home versus Arkansas. Okay. Well, Vandy has also swept Florida, has also swept A&M, has swept Georgia, took the first one versus Bama. So, you know, some of it, I think, is just the mentality that Coach Corbin brings, the stability, the consistency, the ability to turn the page, to flush it in baseball parlance. I think that's kind of what you have to do because, man, baseball is going to beat it out of you. Like, you could mishit something by a fraction of a centimeter, and it's the difference between a home run and a ground ball. So I think they have handled the ups and downs in totality, Jake, rather than, you know, a difficult week, but in the totality of the season, this group has handled, I think, some of the ebbs and flows pretty well.
Speaking of a difficult week coming up. You got a couple more games against the top 20 Alabama team, then at Louisville in a midweek, and then you head to Knoxville for a rivalry game with Tennessee. Does it feel like this is the week, if Vandy's going to solidify themselves as a top 8 seed in the tournament, that, hey, you got 6 games over the next 8 days. If you can win 4 of them, you got to feel pretty good about your standing when it comes to Selection Sunday.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, the resume is so good as it is. And, of course, that's got to continue. But you've got the number 3 RPI. You've got the number 3 strength of schedule. You've got, I think, 14 quad 1 victories. And then everything here and out for Vanderbilt is a top 30 RPI game. It's so hard to know. And I think one of the things that I've picked up in the past couple of years is like, golly, and just to come back to kind of what I was saying previously, that the league is so hard. It's so hard to know what your moments are that define you as a top 8 national seed. But there's no doubt, right, Jake? If Vandy wins this weekend versus Bama, wins next weekend versus Tennessee, you're not going to have a perfect record down the stretch. I mean, you want to play your best baseball in June, not the first weekend of May. But if they have success the next couple of weekends, whatever that translates into, however many wins that is, yeah, they're likely a top 8 national seed just because the overall strength of the resume is pretty darn good.
Andrew Allegretta is with us here on Forrest Company. Andrew, this team is a whole different team at home. They're 24-4. Obviously on the road, they're just one game above 500, 8-7. What have you realized from the box as to this difference in the way the team plays at home and on the road?
Yeah, and that's part of the reason I think everyone would like a top 8 national seed. If you have the ability to host potentially to Omaha, I think that's to the benefit of this team. I kind of think that everybody is built for their stadium, and everyone is built stylistically for what makes sense in the ballpark that you play at. Like, you know, Ole Miss is built for Swayze Field, which can be a launching pad. Georgia is built for Foley Field, which can be a launching pad. And certainly Tennessee is built for Lindsey Nelson, which is can be a launching pad. There's only a couple of fields in the SEC that kind of play straight up, and Hawkins Field is one of them. And that doesn't mean that, you know, Vandy is this, you know, throwback, old school, we're going to bunt and we're going to steal and we're going to pitch. And I mean, they can hit the ball hard. Obviously, they've got some power hitters in there that as the season grows, like, you would hope you continue to get more power out of Holcomb and Johnston, and R.J. Austin hit his first home run in a while here today. So they've got some pop when they need it. But they're built for Hawkins Field. They've got great pitching. They play pretty good defense. You know, balls that are going to get out of other parks aren't going to get out of Hawkins Field, and we've got some pretty good defenders out there to go track them down. So I just – the way the team is built is certainly suited for the ballpark that we play in. And, you know, that's not everything. You know, some of it is – some of it's pitcher's comfort level. Like, J.D. Thompson has 25 strikeouts in each of his past two home starts. There's a comfort level with the way that the mound feels. Like, if you don't have to think about your landing foot and if it's going to slide or whatever it is, you're going to be a little bit more comfortable and you're going to execute a little bit better. So all of that stuff factors in. We would all prefer to be, you know, in spaces that were comfortable, and Vandy is certainly comfortable at Hawkins Field this year.
Andrew, looking at the Crimson Tide, they have a superstar in Justin LeBron, projected top five MLB draft pick. He's batting, let's see, 315 with 15 home runs and 60 RBIs. How can Vanderbilt limit the damage he can do this weekend?
Well, strike him out, which is what they did yesterday. I think J.D. Thompson struck him out twice, and he didn't look comfortable at short yesterday, which was kind of surprising. There was a play that was a 50-50 E6 or a hit. They gave it a hit, and then a second later, he airmailed one to first base and did pick up an E6. So, you know, what they have to do to limit him, you know, Coach Corbin said he's a really good high ball pitcher. Okay, well, have really good breaking balls down and make him chase some. You know, limiting him means getting him to go 1-for-4 instead of 3-for-4. And they're off to a good start. You know, heck, I remember last year when Vandy played Florida, Vandy won the first two games. Jack Caglione hit home runs in each one of those. And then in the third game, Jack Caglione didn't hit a home run, and 4-1. So you never know, but you're just trying to make sure that they don't take over a game. And certainly they got off to a good start with him yesterday with a couple of strikeouts and an E6.
Talking with Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt baseball. Andrew, I wanted to highlight Connor Fennell a little bit because I remember seeing him in the, I think it was the Tennessee Tech game that I was over there for, where the first four innings took like 3 hours, and then Fennell comes out and just strikes out the side on like 12 pitches. And he's kind of developed from a guy who you saw in the midweek games to now he's your Sunday starter and coming off being named SEC Pitcher of the Week. How have you seen him develop in his first season with Vanderbilt since coming over from Dayton?
Yeah, just confidence, Jake. He's so much fun to watch. He pitches, I don't know, he pitches like an up-tempo football offense. Like, he's going to throw the baseball the second that he can throw it, right? There's all of these rules with the action clock, and the pitchers have to wait for the hitters to make eye contact and yada, yada, yada. Fennell is ready to throw. Carter Holton was so fast for Vanderbilt. Fennell is faster, and Scott Brown, our pitching coach, loves it. He throws 88. He is 6'1". He is sub 200 pounds. He was not super recruited. He goes to Dayton the whole bit, but this kid has moxie off the charts. He's got just a wicked changeup that sits upper 70s, a fastball that's 88. He's got a funky delivery. He's got a slider that is kind of a de facto knuckleball. And what was it? Was it 12 strikeouts, I think, versus Ole Miss last weekend in the complete game shutouts? What a revelation he's been. He's been so much fun to watch, I think, just because of his toughness. He's willing to bark back and forth, you know, within bounds. He's of all of the people, and there's been some really nice strides taken with some of the younger players. This kid coming from Dayton, which you didn't know what you had. You know, he wasn't their biggest transfer. It was like, okay, we've got Connor Fennell. That's a good addition to the bullpen, however that's going to shake out. But he's proof he's got the toughness, the guts, and the willingness because, you know, Corbin talks about this too. What's the difference between a great ball player and a player that's struggling? It's the confidence. And Fennell just brings confidence every single time. And he doesn't care. Like, he gave up two home runs back-to-back to Texas A&M, one of them to Jace LaViolette, who could be the number one overall draft pick in a couple of months, and he shook it off and came back and struck out seven Aggies. Like, his fearlessness and the willingness to take a punch and throw a counterpunch is huge.
Andrew, appreciate you taking some time today. Good luck the rest of the weekend. And if the rain holds off, I will see you this afternoon. So okay. hopefully, this weather starts to move out of here soon.
I'm optimistic. I think what I saw is that that potentially it's out of here kind of mid-afternoon, early afternoon-ish. So if all we have to do is bump first pitch back just a little bit, that would be great. And that means I get a little bit of Jake Kleiman in my life. And that's
yes.
positive.
Get
yes.
a little warm cup of coffee for him. He'll be there for
you. Is that all it takes?
I think
all
so.
All I have to do is throw the scent of coffee in the press box, and he'll wander up.
I mean, somehow I made my way to West End. I just, you know, it pulled me there.
If you have him play Enter Sandman over the speakers, he'll flock over there too.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? For some reason, they're all jumping over here in the press box.
Andrew, thanks for your time, and good luck. Hopefully, we can get a couple of wins this weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jake.
Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt baseball. And again, you can listen in to Game 2 against Alabama later today. Currently scheduled 2 o'clock first pitch, 1:45 pregame right here on the game. Hopefully, that stays that way. But
there's
we'll see.
A lot of pressure on your shoulders.
Specifically there. You, Jake, not these other two, just you.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of pressure, man.
No, I know.
You got to show up.
I was already planning on it. I texted Andrew earlier this week that I was planning on coming this weekend.
That was
weekend.
Twice. It started with, how are you, Jake? And then it ended with, thanks, Jake. We're here, too.
I'm not offended by it.
I'm just messing with it.
You guys should get to know Andrew better.
Yeah. Well,
I'm all right with that.
I'll follow you to the washout today.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation around SEC baseball coming up next. Talk some more Vandy. Talk some Tennessee. Also know that the Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for NASCAR. Tomorrow, following the Nashville Sounds game, you can tune in to 94.9 The Fan for the Worth 400 NASCAR race. Coverage also available at the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Forrest Company rolls along after this here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Be sure to tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pregame begins at 4:50. First pitch is at 5:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Big thanks to Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt baseball, for joining us in the last segment. Let's dive in a little further on SEC baseball. Three more weekends to go, including this one in the regular season, before the SEC converges on Hoover, Alabama. And then just like that, we're into the NCAA tournament. I believe we're just over a month away from the College World Series. June 13th, 14th is right around where that starts. And it's looking like both teams in state have a good chance not only to host regionals, but maybe even be top 8 national seeds where you could host a super regional. Vanderbilt 13-9 in the SEC, 33-13 overall. Tennessee 13-8 in the conference, 36-9 this year. And a big showdown coming up next week at Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
It's going to be a good one.
Tennessee, I feel like that series, typically the home team usually has the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as Andrew said, teams are built for their stadium. Vanderbilt is more built for Hawkins Field, which is not even specifically a pitcher's park, but it's less of a hitter's park than the rest of the SEC. Lindsey Nelson, as we like to say, is a Cracker Jack box.
Yes, it is.
And you're going to see a lot of home runs. Tennessee is built for that. But I think there's a good chance that we see at least one, maybe even both of these teams as top 8 national seeds in the tournament, and maybe a chance we see both of them in Omaha coming up in June.
They're kind of on the same slide right now, too. They're kind of hitting the SEC struggle bus a little bit. You know, Tennessee just got beat 2 out of 3 by LSU and just got smoked in that last game. Vanderbilt ended their series against Ole Miss last week on a high note. I think they won 12-0, something like that. They run ruled them.
13-0.
Yes. But they both won their midweek games. Now they're on kind of the rise. I think they're playing good baseball at the right time. I think they're playing, I mean, next week it's going to be fun. But as this week, I think this is also a fun series because you kind of see Alabama's hitting go one-on-one with Vanderbilt's pitching, which is their two biggest strengths. Andrew just mentioned J.D. Thompson. That dude is throwing absolute gas right now.
Yeah, he got off to a little bit of a slower start this year. And I think it was surprising because of how great he finished last year. Mm-hmm. Everybody expected him to immediately jump in and be the guy. A little slow start, but he has been unbelievable the last couple
of
weeks.
What did he say, 25 strikeouts through his last two home games?
Crazy.
That's unreal. Nuts. That's like, what is that, 12 and a half per game?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, you're just going up there and just having people fan at the plate. Like, that's essentially what you're doing. I mean, that's incredible.
And he throws hard too. Like, he throws,
but when you have
upper
a good
90s,
when you have a good mixture of pitches, though, I mean, that helps tremendously. I mean, that goes for any pitcher in baseball. Like, if you especially have good stuff in college, it's only going to help you going forward.
Oh yeah,
right. And it seems like Vandy has kind of evened out that weekend rotation. Cody Bowker going to go today. He's transition from the Sunday starter to the Saturday guy. And we mentioned Connor Fennell, the Dayton transfer, who at the beginning of the year, I don't think you could have asked a Vanderbilt fan and been like, who is Connor Fennell? They probably would have been like, oh, I have no idea. He's a depth pitcher. And now he's probably one of the most important guys in your rotation. And he's been great. Again, was SEC Pitcher of the Week last week. So Vandy starting to hit their stride. But as Andrew said, you don't want to play your best baseball at the beginning of May. You want to be playing your best baseball towards the end of May and into June as you get towards the postseason.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, Jake, but obviously you're wearing the golden V, so I'm going to ask you the question, and Connor, please elaborate on this as well. You know, in years past, we've seen Vanderbilt kind of adjust to the NIL era of things, and especially under Tim Corbin and him being a very, I guess, not plain Jane, but very traditional-style coach, right. That is. You think they've kind of figured out their pitching rotation when it comes to comparing teams like Vanderbilt in the past, where they've been able to always command the mound?
Yeah, I think Tim Corbin, unlike a lot of other, like you said, more traditional coaches who they've been in that spot for a long time. We've seen guys just up and quit. Tony Bennett at UVA. Mm-hmm. Jay Wright has gotten out of coaching.
Nick Saban.
There are a lot of guys who said that they don't want to deal with it. Tim Corbin, instead of doing the Dabo Swinney and putting his foot down and saying, this is how I've always done it and this is how I'm going to keep doing it, he's made the adjustment and he's gone into the portal and he's gotten some key guys for these teams. I think pitching is always going to be the identity of Vandy baseball. Now, they don't have Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker in this rotation, but I think they've found a good grouping to be your weekend starters. And then they've got guys at the back end of the bullpen who can not only close out games for you, but can go multiple innings in Sawyer Hawks and Miller Green. So I think, unlike maybe last year and the year before where there was a lot of injuries last year, I think Vandy has deep pitching, which is what you need when you get into the postseason, where you might have to play four games in 3 days. And you got to have enough pitching to get through that. And a lot of teams don't. I think Vandy might be one of the few teams that does have enough depth in that rotation and in the bullpen to get through a regional, or once they get to Omaha, maybe have a chance to make a run.
He's right. I mean, you look at examples of coaches that have been the old style of college recruiting and stuff like that that have adapted to NIL. I'd put Tim Corbin near the top of that list. He's a prime example of greatness can adapt. Tim Corbin's a great coach. He's got a great team this year. I think the pitching staff, granted, like you said, there's no Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter out there. There's still a great staff. And I think that's what they kind of harp on to be Vanderbilt. And, you know, it's worked well for them. They're competing for a national 8 seat. So
it's a collective.
Yeah. It's a team effort. There's no individual guys. That's how any team should be run.
Right. And you're seeing some of the younger guys for Vandy start to step up. Brody Johnston, big-time freshman. He's been great. Rustin Rigdon, another freshman. Braden Holcomb, a sophomore who stepped up. And you've seen some of these transfers that they brought in. Like we just mentioned, Tim Corbin hasn't gone away from the transfer portal. He brought in Mike Mancini from James Madison, who he kind of went viral in the tournament last year for hitting, I think it was 3 home runs in one game. The famous call from the announcer of his favorite color is green trees. I don't know if you saw that one.
God.
Stop.
But Mike Mancini's at like that's a big time player that they brought in who I think a lot of SEC programs would have liked to have on their team. And he hasn't been their best player, but he's a guy who immediately can be a key part of that lineup. So I think Vandy's in a good spot. Tennessee, it's tough to repeat, right? Like, they're coming off a national championship.
Especially with how young their team is.
Right. They did lose a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, Christian Moore was the eighth overall pick in the draft. And he wasn't the only key piece to that lineup who's not with the team anymore. So I think Tennessee, baseball is just so different from other sports where not only do you have to be really good, you got to get a little bit lucky to make a run. And I'm not saying Tennessee doesn't have it in them, but, you know, lightning rarely strikes twice. Like, I'm trying to think of, I guess you look back at Vandy's runs in, they won in 14 over Virginia and then lost to Virginia in 15. So it's like you got the same teams in the championship back-to-back years. But it's just so rare. Tennessee, think of all the things that went their way last year. The check swing against Florida State. It's like you need all of those breaks to go your way to win a national championship in this sport. Not saying they can't do it. I'm just saying that
it's going to be harder.
It's going to be tough. And we'll see. I think next weekend's going to be a blast in Knoxville.
It's going to be fun. I really think they split, headed into Sunday, we have ourselves a rubber match.
Which would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I was listening to George Plaster yesterday. They had, blanking on his name, from D1 Baseball. One of the main contributors over at D1 Baseball was talking about there's a chance maybe at Tennessee Vanderbilt Super Regional. Like, they're in that range where one could be
really
7,
fun.
One could be 10, one could be 8, one could be 9. Like, it has to line up, and both teams have to win their regional to get there. But, man, a best-of-three series between Tennessee and Vanderbilt with a spot in Omaha on the line.
That would be so much fun.
I mean,
especially for us to talk about.
Right. I mean, you can't write it any better than that. Yeah. So, obviously, that's still a while away for us to get to that point. We've still got three more regular season series. We've got Hoover. But, I don't know, if we got to that point, I think the state of Tennessee, even though maybe college baseball, isn't the biggest topic on the docket around Tennessee sports. If Tennessee and Vanderbilt were playing in a three-game set for a spot in the College World Series, I think that would be all anybody talked about the entire week.
That's the peak of college baseball in the state of Tennessee. I mean, that easily. I mean, I'm over here looking at some of the SEC stats, just going through all the teams here. I mean, you look at a team like Tennessee who has the highest slugging percentage in the SEC, and you go up against a team like Vanderbilt who has a very good pitching staff, like we talked about just a bit ago. So you guys are saying, a rubber match. It could be also a hitting fest. I mean, Vandy is obviously one of the teams on the lower side of a batting average at 273. But besides that, I mean, these teams are, like you're saying, pretty even to the point where you can't really pick one side or the other.
Yeah, Vandy 15th in the country, Tennessee 12th in the latest ranking. So they're right there. Next weekend's going to be fun in Knoxville. But Vandy still has two more games in their series at home this weekend against Alabama. And again, currently scheduled 2 p.m. first pitch over at Hawkins Field, 1:45 pregame right here on 102.5 The Game. One more segment to go on the show. We're going to make some picks, including our annual Kentucky Derby picks.
Yes.
Coming up next here on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Wrapping up the show on this Saturday, Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman. Been a fun one. It's time to make some picks on this Saturday. We're going to make our Kentucky Derby picks, but let's start with
the main event,
the Game 7s. We got two Game 7s today, one in the NBA, one in the NHL. The constant between the two is Denver has a team in both games.
Mm.
Denver Nuggets, LA Clippers in the NBA, Game 7, and Colorado Avalanche, Dallas Stars in Game 7. Who do we got? Nick Frazier, why don't you start us up?
Oh, I'm going to go NHL. I say the Dallas Stars get it done.
You got the Stars?
Yeah.
I believe Stars are at home, Nuggets are at home.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, I'll go Stars. And then for basketball, I'll go the Nuggets.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going one of the Denver teams?
Yeah.
Connor Newt?
I'll go both Denver teams.
You're going Nugs and Avs.
Nugs and Avs. And Nugs simply because they have more Kentucky players than the Clippers.
That's fair.
I'm going to go Clippers. Kawhi Leonard is one of those players where if he really cared and had like the mentality of a LeBron James, I feel like he could be one of the greatest players of the generation. We saw in the when he was with the Raptors, he was going into a contract year and had to prove himself, and he went and won the NBA Finals. I think Kawhi Leonard's going to step up, and I think he sends the Joker home. Clippers win that one. I will go Avalanche in Game 7 in Dallas. I think Nate McKinnon, you got the best player on the ice. I'll go with the Avs. Jake Walman?
So we're picking both of these at the same time?
Yeah, pick both,
okay.
Both of them.
The NBA, I'd rather watch paint dry. But I think I'm going to go with the Clippers. I don't know.
So we're split? Two on the Clippers, two on
and
the Nuggets?
And then the NHL Game 7, that's one I might actually watch later today. Colorado Avalanche are pretty good. They've gotten really good over the last few years. I guess give me the Avs.
All right.
Lone wolf in it. Love it.
Yeah, only one on the Stars here.
What would you rather watch, paint dry or the Atlanta Braves?
The Braves.
Okay. All right. Just curious.
Did the Braves win last night?
They didn't, but they got rained out. So
gotcha. Okay.
No hit through six.
Oh, yeah. Yamamoto was on the mound. I forgot about that. Yeah. They've done a nice job coming back from an 0-7 start. We got to give it to them.
You ask me to cheer for the Braves, Frazier. I'm doing my part over here. Yeah,
sorry.
All right, time to pick the Derby. It is Derby Day. Who do we got? Actually, I'm going first. At Churchill Downs, because I don't want anyone stealing my pick. I got it right last time with Mystic Dan.
He did.
So I'm gonna go.
Oh yeah, he's the
again.
Defending.
I'm
champ.
The defending champ. And where else could I go but Sandman? Sandman is the pick in honor of Metallica playing over at Nissan Stadium this evening.
Let's go.
Sandman is going to be the winner of the Kentucky Derby.
What are the odds of that happening?
I know. I mean, as soon as I saw it, I knew who I was picking, and that's why I had to go
first.
Well,
the odds are actually 6-1. Well, so there you
thanks.
Go.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Nick Frazier, who is your horse?
Oh, this is tough. There are a few of them that have come to mind looking at this list. One of them was journalism.
Don't you?
The other one was American Promise. And the third one I was looking at, I don't know, maybe I'll try to get one that has a good odds. Maybe the Luxor Cafe. You know what? Lucky number 7. Let's do it. Luxor Cafe. Let's do it. I love coffee. Cafe, baby. Let's
I'm on Sandman. Nick Frazier on Luxor Cafe. Connor Newt?
I'm between two, and I think they're the two funniest, but I'll go with the funnier one. Give me Chunk of Gold.
Chunk of Gold. Number 19, 28-1.
In honor of what I did this morning, about 5 minutes before the show, give me Chunk of Gold.
Chunk of Gold. All right, so I have Sandman. Luxor Cafe for Frazier, Chunk of Gold for Connor Newt. Jake Wallman, who is your horse?
So I'm between two as well. I really like the name Citizen Bull. I think that I don't know what it is about that name that really stands out to me. But I'm going to go with the favorite. I'm going to go with journalism.
Journalism. Yeah, Citizen Bull, that's Bob Baffert's horse returning from his 3-year suspension as a trainer. Because I think he there were some performance enhancers or something.
Really?
A couple years ago.
He was drugging his horses?
I think the they won, and he was disqualified or something, right?
Yeah.
Like 3 years ago? That sounds right. So Bob Baffert has returned, the legendary trainer. I believe he's won the Triple Crown before. Sometime, it was an American Pharaoh. I think that was his horse.
Yeah.
Interesting. Should be fun. When is that? It's what, like 2:30?
Yeah, something like that.
But now, I heard there might be rain there too, so maybe a chance it gets pushed back.
That makes a great race.
Today's weather reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where Kramer is at the betting office. They all take trains to go to different, like Elaine takes a train to go to a wedding, and Jerry's going to Coney Island. And on the train, Kramer hears a conversation where they're talking about a horse, and they're like, his mother was a mutter. His father was a mutter, and he goes and he ends up betting on the horse, and he wins a ton of money, and he almost gets mugged on the way back.
Yeah, and that I think that led to another episode where they met a guy from Texas, and they were in like the airport, and
yes,
he started like betting,
yes, yes,
like, when this airline would take off, and then another one take off, and
They're in like some club or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Pretty funny.
I need to watch Seinfeld.
You'd love it.
I've never watched it all the way through, but I've seen a lot of episodes. But maybe I should. Maybe I should.
Just a little Kentucky Derby news I told you guys in the break. All these are descendants of Secretariat.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Over under amount of Wildcats we see from the Kentucky Derby.
I will put the line at...
I can already tell you one that's going to be there.
7.5.
Because you know he will.
Will Levis.
No.
7.5.
Mark Pope's going to be there.
Well, he's going to be there.
Will Levis posted on his story that he was there yesterday. So.
Oh, well, he's there.
How about we go Mark Pope in Kentucky? Let's go 12.5. 12.5 for the line.
I'd go over.
Mark Pope will be there in that same old Letterman
Mark Stoops
jacket. He's motivated. Don't piss him off.
That'll do it for us today.
He might eat
Fun
horse.
Show. Plenty coming up here on the Game Nashville Sports Network, including Vanderbilt baseball later today. It is a 2 o'clock first pitch against Alabama. Enjoy Derby Day as well. Should be a fun one. We'll be back with you next week. For Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman, I'm Jake Lyman. Enjoy your weekend. ESPN Radio coming up next.
See ya!